So hello again and welcome to another episode of Quick Question with Soren and Daniel, the podcast where two best friends and comedy writers ask each other questions and give each other answers. I am one half of that podcast, author of How to Fight Presidents, staff writer for Last Week Tonight with John Oliver, and just for the week, make-believe homeowner, joined as always by my co-host, actual homeowner, Mr. Soren Bowie. Soren, say hello.
Hello, everybody. I'm Soren Bowie. I'm a writer for American Dad, and I wrote a book as well, but it never got published. I had a literary agent for a tiny bit who was like very excited about the book and like wanted to sell it. And to her credit, like she really did send it to some publishers and stuff. And I'm realizing now later in life with some hindsight that she probably was just trying to sleep with me.
Oh.
'Cause she would say things like, 6 months from now, we're going to be cheersing champagne to the selling of this book. And like that kind of stuff. And like, she kept wanting me to come out to New York for meetings and stuff like that. And I was like, you know, obviously not doing that because I was a kid and I didn't have any money. Mm-hmm. Kid, I mean, I was like 25 or something like that when I wrote this. And it was...
Still fully broke. You stay broke so much longer than anyone prepares you for.
Yeah, you do. And she was very nice, but I'm realizing now, like, she talked a lot about, like, my arms and stuff in a way where I'm like, oh, maybe that wasn't appropriate. And, oh, this was a weird power dynamic. And I think that this was just somebody who is maybe not interested in the book.
Yeah. I think that reinforces a decision I made early on in life, which was to be completely unfuckable. That way, if anyone ever wants to read my work, I know that it's pure. I know that it comes from a place of like, this is inescapably good art.
That's smart. That was really smart. I thought it would open a lot more doors for me if I tried to be handsome.
And, yeah, handsome and talented. Wrong way to go, man.
Well, I gave up on both of them, so I think I'm fine now.
Thanks to Skillshare for supporting Quick Question. Skillshare empowers you to accomplish real growth. Do something today you couldn't do yesterday with classes designed for real life. Skillshare is an online learning community with so much to explore, real projects to create, and the support of fellow creatives. Explore your creativity at skillshare.com/QQ and get 1 month free trial of premium membership.
Thanks to Hawthorne for supporting Quick Question. Hawthorne is a premium grooming brand that tailors your personal care routine to your unique profile. Take Hawthorne's quiz today and get started on your personalized self-care routine at hawthorne.co. That's CO, like the abbreviation for Colorado, baby. And use promo code QQ to get 10% off your first purchase.
Did you want to ask me about my temporary home ownership?
Yeah, so let me see if I can guess what this is. I think this is just your little bucolic hovel down in New Jersey, right?
It's a different part of New Jersey. I'm house sitting for my brother and sister-in-law.
Oh, Dan, that's so exciting for you.
It's more suburbs, and like my sister-in-law wrote because really they have a nice house and a good yard for Jackson and a pool. And I knew they were going to be out of town. So I was like, hey, do you want me to like take in your mail and use your pool and like water your plants and use your pool and like swim in your pool? And they gave me a list of like things to do in addition to the mail and the pool and the plants.
Perfect.
And my sister-in-law immediately texted me the next day and she was like, I feel so bad. I want you to enjoy your time. I gave you a list of all our dirty work. And like, I can't tell you how much I've been enjoying skimming the pool and watering plants and feeding pets and just like pretending I live here for a while. It's such a dream to be like, all right, time to empty those skimmer traps.
I was gonna ask, like, are you planning to do something for the house? But it's so nice to have somebody tell you these are the things that need to be done.
Yes.
This is the grunt work, because oh, what a dream.
Yeah. It's been such a treat. And they've been really good about like, if you don't want to do this, it's fine. Like, no. I'm gonna cosplay suburban dad in nice house for a week. And that's gonna give me enough positive energy to get me through a few more weeks in New York City.
It really is. I think people play those games like Homescapes or Gardenscapes. There's like mobile games where the whole point of it is that you're just like fixing up a place.
Yeah.
And I feel that. My home is a mobile game, basically, where like I'm trying to install a new chandelier in our guest bedroom, which is just like this hanging light that I think is very cool. But I had to take off a fixed light that was on the ceiling and realize that underneath the plate, it was all like it's too shallow to install this new thing. There's like lots of issues with trying to fix or figure it out. My son's right there. And so out loud, I'm going, oh, God damn it. I'm going to have to get a new electrical box for this. I'm going to have to pull this old one out, figure out how to get it out of there. Oh, boy. But in my mind, I'm going, yes, this project is just got complicated. All right.
This is going to be the weekend. should we get into the show where we ask each other questions and give each other answers?
I think that's a good idea.
Do you want me to go first this time?
Sure. This time. Yeah, absolutely. why don't we try that? See how it works.
This was inspired by one of my favorite podcasts, The Flagrant Ones, with Carl Tart, Hayes Davenport, and Sean Clements. Theirs was focused purely on basketball, but I wanted to broaden ours out. But first, I want to ask you, what sport of the big four sports, I guess we could say hockey, the big five sports, do you think you are best at?
Football. And that's going to sound crazy because I'm not built for football.
Do you mean football?
No, I mean actual football.
Wow. Okay.
I know.
What position are you most confident in?
A cornerback.
Corner?
Yeah, corner.
Okay. So in this scenario, you are on the Broncos at your level currently, exactly where you are right now at your level of athleticism. And there have been enough injuries on the team that you are playing cornerback and you have to play the entire game.
Well, hold on. Mm-hmm. We're playing in pads, I assume.
Yeah.
See, now I'm no longer confident that this is my sport.
Okay.
I've got no idea what my peripheral vision would be like in a helmet, or like if I could even get my arms over my head. Like in a blazer, I can't even get my arms up where I want them to be. Shoulder pads feel like...
Okay. Well, where this hypothetical goes is to find out how long you think you could last playing in a professional sport. So if you want to change your answer now, you can.
I'm changing it to soccer.
Okay. That's what I figured. Yeah. So you're whatever position, they don't matter to me. And
midfield.
You have to... Midfield, okay.
Yeah.
And you have to play the entire game. And you have to at least look like you are participating. Mm-hmm. You can't like, I'm going to stay here on this play and wait for it to come to me because I have a feeling. You have to like really play. How long is a regulation soccer?
90 minutes.
Quarter?
No, half is, it's halves. And it's half. First half is 40 minutes.
Okay. So you're playing at your level now. With a standard American soccer team, Galaxy, let's say. Okay. And how long can you make it before it's lights out for you? Before you're either vomiting or you call in a bomb scare or you pass out?
I think the first thing that's most likely is I'm going to pull something.
Yeah.
I will probably pull a hamstring in, I would guess, first 10 minutes.
Okay. Let's say you're blessed and you're not going to get injured and it's just like how long you can go.
I think that I could survive a half. Now,
wow.
It would look bad. I mean, like I wouldn't, they'd be stealing the ball from me constantly. Anytime that I get a touch on it, like I'm going to get rid of it as fast as I can. But there's no way I'm taking the ball from anybody. There's no way if somebody's, it's me and somebody else on a sprint, they're getting away from me. And if I get the ball, like, yeah, I may get a few passes off that would make me look like, okay, all right, he's doing all right. But, like, certainly not scoring any goals or anything. But I think I could survive a half.
45 minutes.
Yeah.
How long is a soccer field?
About the size of a football field.
I wonder, I'm going to see if I can quickly Google it. Like, how much mileage a person runs in a standard soccer game.
And it's, like, not just, it's sprinting.
Yeah. Because that, the answer is somewhere between 7 and 9.5 miles. That's how much a soccer player runs in a given
match. Game. Yeah. So it's half of that. That feels completely doable. I think 3.5 miles and it's not all at once, right? So like, if I'm right half, then there are times where the ball's just like on the other side of the field or a striker's got it up front and I don't need to necessarily keep up. I think I could do it.
I almost never watch soccer. Is there like what could be considered recovery time? Because that's what it comes down to. If anytime you're moving, you're sprinting and not just sprinting, but a lot of side to side movements, which adds so much extra energy and pain. There is recovery time.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. There's a lot of time where you're at, I mean, it's, I shouldn't have picked halfback. I should have picked something like striker, but like there's a lot of time where you're just sort of like walking on your side of the field.
Okay.
But man, there's like, there's so many other elements to this. Like I wouldn't know how to like develop a play or anything like that. Like if somebody wanted me to shoot downfield or like find a lane or something like that, I wouldn't be able to do any of that. I would be useless basically, but I could, yeah. I could at least run that much.
Yeah. You're allowed to be the worst player on the field. You're just not allowed to be like bad on purpose, really. You're not allowed to tank it to rest.
Yeah.
You have to try your absolute hardest the whole time.
I would do it. I would do it for 45 minutes. I think I could withstand 45 minutes of Galaxy football.
I don't think... I picked basketball.
Okay. That's a lot more running, by the way.
That's your running 3 miles in a game.
But it's a lot more like you're on the move constantly.
Yes. That's where I think... That's why I don't think I would make it a full quarter. I think I am throwing up at some point. like pretty early on. And again, like I'm not expected to score. I'm expected to play with the goal of winning. Yeah. So I'm like definitely playing on our team, but I don't need to score. I don't need to steal. I just need to be trying the entire time. And I still think just low expectations, trying my best, I'm not making it 10 minutes because the thing that I draw from is like this HIIT class, high intensity interval training class that I used to do where there's so much sprinting and then your recovery time is like lightweight bench press or lightweight curls or something like that. But you're still, here's a minute and 40 seconds where you're sprinting on a treadmill and then you break for 20 seconds and then you're sprinting again at a faster clip or at an incline, a raise. And then your recovery time is always like, okay, now I can rest over here by doing push-ups. Like that's my version of rest. Yeah. And I can do that class doing everything that I'm supposed to do for an hour, but I don't think there's enough recovery time in basketball. Like I would just be praying, God, I hope they fucking foul Giannis so I can just stand here and breathe for 13 seconds and I don't have to do anything and just like try to cram in all of the recovery that I need, because when you stop sprinting, you don't feel good. You still need to like breathe and recover. And I think the amount of sprinting and the amount of lateral movements that I'd be doing. And if you factor in, if I ever have to dribble, that's more exertion.
Well, there's way more than that. There's like, you're going to have to play against somebody. If somebody's like getting boxed out, getting like pushing off of people, like that stuff is really exhausting.
Yeah.
Trying to stand your ground against somebody who's like bumping back into you is like, that alone, I'd be like winded afterwards.
Yeah. And I really feel myself going, maybe 7 minutes is pushing it. And by 7 minutes, I'm throwing up and taking all my clothes off and lying on the court.
Yeah.
And they all have to play around me at that point.
I'd say, well, 7 minutes, Dan, that's about 6 minutes and 50 seconds longer than I got to play in my eighth grade basketball games. So that's pretty good, I'd say.
But that
for
wasn't
this group.
That wasn't because you were puking.
No, it was because I was bad.
I think if I was trying to win this hypothetical game, I would probably, I want to say I'd pick baseball because
So that was dumb of us not to pick baseball.
No, but I started with what do you think you're best at?
Yeah.
And then you have to answer based on that. But even baseball, like I feel like my issue with baseball is there's a lot of standing, which is good for me, but there is no single position in that sport that I can handle. I can't throw for shit. And I can't catch. I'm scared of baseballs. And so even if I'm like right field, where I was buried my entire Little League career, because the ball is not expected to come there, in professional baseball, it does sometimes. And I wouldn't be able to catch it. And if I did eventually recover it, I can't throw that to anyone. I can't hit my cutoff, man.
Yeah. But that's okay. I mean, you don't have to be good at the sport, right? Like, look at, right. you know who Bartolo Colon is?
Yeah, he's a baseball player.
Yeah, you can look him up. He's
the only reason, like, truly the only reason that I know him is because he is referenced in a Wolfpack song.
Oh, really?
Yeah, called Joe DiMaggio.
Well, he's a heavyset gentleman. He's a bit on the husky side. And no one has ever given you more confidence that you could be a baseball player. I think he's probably, I don't know what his record is for pitching. I'm sure he's probably a good pitcher because he's lasted in the league so long. But he is just a heavy guy who like just doesn't give a fuck that he's a heavy guy. And it makes me think, oh, you know what? Maybe like Kirby Puckett was my favorite player when I was a kid. And that man was about 300 pounds. and he played outfield. And I was like, oh, maybe I could do this. Maybe this could be my sport. And it's basketball. You've got five people. Yeah. Out on the court at any given time, you're going to touch the ball, Dan, at some point. And that's a terrifying prospect. You could maybe go a whole game of baseball without touching the ball. If you're not playing the infield.
Yeah.
I think you could go a whole game.
But then I have to bat too, right? And I can't do that.
Oh, it's terrifying.
The idea of like, what's a standard batting cage speed?
No, like 70 miles an hour, maybe.
Yeah, and these guys are throwing well above 90. That.
Yeah, they're throwing 90 to 100.
No one's ever pitched at me at a way that like, oh, if that hits me, that could do some real damage.
Also, at a batting cage, the ball is just like, it's coming for you. No surprises there. Yeah. Whereas like a pitch can be a fastball that like takes a certain trajectory and like looks exactly the same as a sinker. And all of a sudden, like at a certain point, the ball just disappears off your radar. maybe baseball was the wrong choice. I guess batting, I didn't even consider.
Yeah. Every human was born to create. Whether you last picked up a paintbrush yesterday or in grade school, you can explore your creativity and be inspired. Skillshare is an online learning community that offers membership with meaning. With so much to explore, real projects to create, and the support of fellow creatives, Skillshare empowers you to accomplish real growth. Look, whether you're a dabbler or a pro or a hobbyist or a master, you're creative. We all are. Discover what you can make with classes for every skill set. Experience real improvement with hands-on projects and classes designed for real life. Skillshare is also incredibly affordable, especially when compared to pricey in-person classes and workshops. An annual subscription is less than $10 a month. We know I've taken a lot of classes from Skillshare over the years, and my most recent is the Ultimate Self-Care Playbook, where you can discover and nurture your centered self with Jonathan Van Ness. None other than Jonathan Van Ness from Queer Eye. This was a great class. Self-care is very important to me and practicing mindfulness, and this class was terrific for that with Jonathan, who is an amazing teacher and host. We learn to reimagine self-care as a practice that fits you and your life. You can excavate your true desires through mindfulness and mantras, unlock creativity and joy by developing a self-care planner, which I thought was silly at first, but I absolutely live by now, and you can build a sustainable and crave-worthy routine. Self-care shouldn't feel like a chore. It should feel fun. You should enjoy it. And Jonathan Van Ness and his class, The Ultimate Self-Care Playbook, is going to help you to do that. Explore your creativity at Skillshare.com/QQ and get 1 month free trial of premium membership. That's 1 month of premium membership at Skillshare.com/QQ. Hockey I couldn't do, can't skate backwards.
Forget it. Well, and hockey is like, that feels like the most exhausting of all of them. That's football and ice. You're wearing all the gear and that's nonstop moving. And it's got the same problem as basketball where there's just like, there's five of you out there.
Yeah. And like, I can't tell where the puck is when I'm watching from the sky on a giant TV and there are announcers telling me where it is.
Yeah. I never think about that, but like in games like football and stuff where if I was with football, I've got something constantly on the screen that tells me what down it is, how far it is to go. I would not remember any of that. I wouldn't even know the score throughout the most of the game. I'd be like, are we winning? And then like, where's the yellow line? Where are we supposed to get to?
That's why I was so excited when you initially picked football, because I really wanted to know how long you could last in professional football. I feel like not long. Is that fair?
No, I don't think I'd even make it a full like series of downs, honestly, especially a corner. Like that's like such an exhausting position. And I have no context for like wearing all that shit as well and knowing what it's like to have all that gear on. It's just like carrying a backpack and playing a sport. So I think I would get absolutely torched for two downs, and then yeah, same thing where I'd be throwing up and just lying down and being like, do this one without me.
So many injuries that I would fake, and then the medical examiner would come over and be like, no, you're fine, you're cleared to play. I'm like, buddy, what's a lot of money to you?
Because it means nothing to me. Just tell me. So I used to play a game called Ultimate Frisbee. Mm-hmm. And just going to hold for applause for people at home for a second. There it was. Okay. So I played Ultimate Frisbee, and we played exclusively tournaments. So the way it works is that for a Saturday, you go to a field, and there are a bunch of different little games set up. There's a bunch of different fields set up. And you're going to play maybe four games that day. And that is nonstop in the same way that like soccer is. Except probably I would say about probably the same amount of running as soccer. It's just the games last less time. And you're playing to a certain point number. So there's no time limit. You're not like checking the clock every once in a while and being like, okay, I only got to go another 5 more minutes. You have to go another 5 points. And then there's soft caps on the games, which means that you have to win by a certain amount before the game is over. If there's just one team that's up by 1 point, you could get from like, say the game is supposed to end at 12 points. You could get all the way up to 21 if nobody ever gets ahead by two.
Okay.
And it's a lot of running. And then you do, after you're done with the game, you play another game, and then you play two more after that. And looking back on that, I'm like, there's no fucking way I could do that in my adult life. Like, it was exhausting. It was so hard. You're out in the sun. You're not really eating much because you've got game after game. You maybe have a break sometime around like 2 o'clock where you go, and like they have bagels at these things generally. And it's like, that's all you're eating. And it's just, it's madness. It's so, and people are sprinting away from you. You got to cover up people. So like, you have to run that whole time, and there's no way I could do it again.
Yeah. That's when I was like 19 and a camp counselor, there was once a year, we would plan a day where after camp, all the kids were gone. All the counselors would form teams and play dodgeball against each other, tournament dodgeball. And the idea of doing that now freaks me out. And that's not even as much running as Ultimate Frisbee, it sounds like, but it's a lot of lateral movements. It's a lot of running. It's a lot of jumping and dodging and like throwing yourself on the ground and also throwing balls at people. And even then, even at 19, just a few years after my physical peak, I was still, when we would win a game, I was like, okay, so the reward for winning is we play again.
Great.
Okay. All right. It seems like the reward should be I go home, but sure, we'll just keep playing.
This isn't my quick question, but a related one. When was the last time you jumped on a trampoline?
It was probably you were there for it. It was like a joint birthday celebration.
Yes.
When I was 28 years old with a friend of the show, Daniel Campana, who designed our podcast logo, and friend of the show, Justin Vire, who was the initial director of After Hours. We have a birthday around each other. So instead of the embarrassment of one person having an adult birthday party, we would always combine. And it was always physical thing during the day and then drinks somewhere at night. And one time we went to this trampoline zone place. I know you know this, Soren. I'm telling the folks. And like a sky zone or whatever, where the floor and the walls are trampolines. And the second I get there, I'm like, this is going to be fucking great. Like your first bounce after not bouncing for many years, you're like, I got the hang of this. We're going to play dodgeball on trampolines. This is so incredible. And then like truly 3 minutes into that and my body is like, hey, we haven't used our jumper muscles in quite a while. And we gave them like the rest of our life off. So they were not prepared for this. And you're going to be sore in some pretty surprising ways. And like there's no, as far as I know, there's no like recovery position on a trampoline. You're constantly engaging something.
Yeah. I would say, I don't even know if I could jump for 3 minutes straight on a trampoline. I think I'd get so winded immediately. I mean, so my neighbors have one and my son goes over and jumps. And then one day they were just like, they were playing and then they got sick of the trampoline. So they fucked off and did something else. And I was like, well, old Soren will get on there and do a couple of laid out backflips and reminisce on my old days. And got on the trampoline, did one trick, and I was like, and that's gonna be it. I think I'm good for the day. I feel a little hungover all of a sudden. And like just jumping, just the act of jumping that much, it's like you get out of breath immediately. And then there's also a lot of like movement that you're not used to in your ordinary life that gives you something similar to car sickness.
Yeah.
Where like you're jumping and you're kind of spinning a little bit, or just the movements your body isn't used to, like being on a swing again. And yeah. You're like, fuck, I don't feel good.
Do you get like upset stomach?
Yeah.
Not nausea upset stomach, but just like digestive upset stomach problems?
No, I get nausea.
I was wondering, because there's this thing that I'll get occasionally, and I don't have the strongest stomach in the world, but it's a runner's stomach or runner's gut, jogger's gut, where if you're putting a whole lot of mileage, you're, no one knows why exactly, but it's like these like 10 plus, 15 plus mileage, where for some people after the race and sometimes during the race, you'll just, it's immediately like you need to be evacuated.
Yeah, I like that your body is just like, all right, this is fucked up. We're taking it. Where everything's going.
Yeah,
we're dropping. It's like a cargo plane that's like flying too low. It's like we got to drop everything.
Yeah, I also love a thing where when I Google it, I love when people don't really know and they're just like, yeah, we think maybe it's just like you're fucking, like your insides are just bouncing around too much. Maybe it's a dehydration thing. Maybe it's like whatever you ate in the morning plus the constant shaking. But like, yeah, it just happens to some people and it's bad news.
I found out about that from in college at my then girlfriend, now wife, ran cross country. And the first meet that I went to go watch her, basically when cross country, you're not watching them the entire time. You're standing somewhere and they run past you. And then you move to a new location and they run past you again. And I was doing that. And there was a girl on her team who just disappeared. Like she ran past us at one point. We all cheered. We got to the next location and she wasn't there and she wasn't anywhere in the group. And it's because of that, where like at one point she just was like, oh, and pulled off of the course and just squatted down and just let it out.
Yeah. There are like famous pictures of people who have finished marathons with shit like pouring down their legs because they refused to stop. And they're like, victory is more important. And as someone who doesn't remember what race this was and what place they got, but does remember very vividly this woman covered in shit, I don't think victory is more important. Because one of these things is iconic to me.
Yeah, it's Paula Radcliffe. Here it is. Hawthorne is a premium grooming brand that tailors your personal care routine to your unique profile. How do they get your unique profile, you may be asking? Well, you give it to them, folks. You take a little quiz, it's very easy, and it's also very illuminating. You learn a lot about your skin type, your hair type, what kind of shampoo you need, what kind of body wash is best for you. And once you've done all that, Hawthorne just knows. They are professionals, and they can look through the type of skin you have, the type of hair you have, and they say, ah, let me give you this. Why don't you try this? And they give you products, and you go, yes, this is exactly what I needed. Thank you. This is perfect. And it takes all of the hard work of going to a place and just looking down this menacing aisle of all these lotions and body washes, and just they say, no, don't worry about that. These are the things you need. You just take a short study-backed quiz and get matched with your perfect grooming kit. You get free shipping on your Hawthorne order too. And if you decide you're not satisfied with your product, they'll give you free shipping on the return as well. So it's win-win for you. With their subscription options personalized to your usage, you never run out of these essentials. And listen, this summer, it's been easier than ever to fall behind on your personal care routines. You're not going out as much. They're reissuing mask mandates. Things are trending in the wrong direction. But listen, Hawthorne makes it easy for you to stay on track throughout it, so you can come out of this thing prettier than everybody else. And in the end, isn't that what's most important? I took their quiz. And it asked me a couple of questions, personal questions, but I thought, you know what? In the spirit of getting this right and knowing what I should actually be using on my hair as opposed to Head and Shoulders, which I've used the last 10 years of my life, let's give it a shot. And it was super valuable. They asked me what kind of hair I had, if I thought it was oily, if I thought it was dandruffy. And I said, yeah, sometimes I get some flakes on my shoulders. They said, no problem. We got the thing for you. This conditioner, this shampoo. And hey, Soren, what about your armpits? How do those sweat? And I said, pretty good. And they said, all right, well, we got some deodorants here. What type do you think you'd want? Do you want one that's all natural? And I said, yes, please, that one. I've heard about aluminum problems and that I don't totally understand. And they gave me one that was perfect for me. So take Hawthorne's quiz today and get started on your personalized self-care routine by going to hawthorne.com/co. That's hawthorne.com/co. And use your promo code QQ to get 10% off your first purchase. That's hawthorne.co. Promo code QQ for 10% off your first purchase. Yeah, that's not something I've ever experienced. And maybe it's because I've never pushed my body in a way that these people are pushing it to the edge. And I'm okay with that, I think.
Yeah. It's fine. Like, I should be the one listening to my body who is like, hey, I don't think we should run this much. And I'm like, no, I think I'll just deal with the consequences. And they're like, no. I don't have an agenda and there's no political sides here. I'm telling you what the body can handle. I'm like, nah, it's great.
Oh God. I'm just like, now I'm down a hole. I'm looking at pictures and it also is bringing up like any sort of visceral torture that happens during running. And another thing that I've never encountered before, but I know people who have, is there's a guy here who's just got streaks of blood running down from his nipples.
Nipples? Yeah. That's never happened to me. Like that's certainly the fear if you're running long distance and like you, especially if it's a shirt of a different material that you're not used to. Like a lot of people will buy new shirts for race day. And if you don't have like nipple, armpit and chafing Vaseline, then you run the risk of so much chafing, just rubbing your nipples raw. And there are a lot of pictures of champions bleeding from their nipples, rivers of blood.
Oh my God. It's so armpits too, huh?
Yeah, I've never bled from running, but like the last half marathon I did a couple months ago, the whole last like 2.5 miles, there was so much chafing from the open, it was a sleeveless tank top, so there's so much chafing from like the ridge of the tank top with under my left arm that I like had to keep my arm out farther to the side because every time I rubbed it against the shirt / my body, it would hurt so much. And if you're running 13.1 miles in the sun, you like, if you can remove something else that hurts, you do it. So I just had like this terrible stance where my left arm was just like hanging out.
Yeah. That affects your time.
Yeah. And also, you put the Vaseline on your nipples, around your armpits, and where like your thighs would meet when you're running, because that's where a lot of chafing occurs.
Well, I mean, what an awful way to exist, though. I mean, that's got to feel terrible.
Yeah.
We used to, at the high school I went to, as you know, was very outdoor oriented. We did a lot of hiking trips, and there was one girl that I went to school with who just blistered very easily. Just like the type of skin she had, didn't matter what kind of boots they were. And her solution finally was that every single morning when we'd wake up, pack up our sleeping bags and everything, she would just lube up her feet, like Vaseline her feet, and then put a wool sock over it and then put it in a hiking boot. So gross. And I couldn't even imagine, just like, I mean, the feeling of having like tripping in a stream or something like that and having to walk around with a soggy foot all day, having to do that on a hike just seems like it's not worth it. Let's just go home.
I, for most of my life, anytime I've gone snorkeling, it hasn't really taken. Like, water will always get into my mask. Or not most of my life. I guess most of my adult life, water would get into my mask. And it was just an unpleasant time. And you try to clear it as much as possible. And then you just give up. You stop snorkeling. And then one time when I was in Hawaii a couple years ago on a snorkeling trip, the woman who was guiding it was like, it's your mustache. Your mustache is going to push the mask a little bit. So you have to wear Vaseline on your mustache parts. And so now I just like slime up my fucking mustache before putting a mask on. And it works. It like closes the thing and makes suction happen. But it's so unpleasant. Just be like, no, you guys go ahead. I have an extra step to do before I get to go and explore the ocean.
And just like coming home on the boat with a slippery mustache with like this slimy greased up thing where it's like the hairs are sort of like split apart a little bit. Oh, that's great. Dan, I have a question for you, and it's actually not too dissimilar. It's sports-ish question, because my story is going to be sports-ish. But what's something that you see people around you doing wrong, or that you've seen people doing wrong, and like there's just like you would be the only person who would step in and be like, there's a different way to do this. The first thing I think of is like going in public transportation, you got to ride down pretty steep escalators. And very frequently when somebody either gets to the top of those escalators or the bottom, they just stand there for a second and they're like, okay, let's see, where is my platform? Or like they get to the top and like, well, which corner am I on? Let's see, what street? And there's just like, there's a group of people coming up behind them that cannot stop. Yeah. Like, and so when somebody stops at the very top, or home tours, like you go, when somebody's giving you a tour of their home and you're a group of people of like four or five, someone will just stop in the doorway.
Yeah.
And there's people behind them. And it's like, no, we don't, you have to go into the room so that we can see it. That type of thing.
Yeah.
I can go first if you want.
No, mine is quick and similar to escalators. Mine's elevators, because I take them so frequently because there's an elevator in my building and that's how I get up to my floor. And I have Jackson with me all the time. And I understand that that can be like a confusing thing to throw in the mix, but he's not jumping at anything. He's just like another thing that is there. And even without him, sometimes someone will open the door to an elevator to get off and they'll look and see a person or a person and a dog. And you could see in their eyes that they hadn't anticipated this as a possibility. They forgot that there were more people in the world than just them. And so they just freeze getting in the elevator or getting off the elevator in this case. And I never say anything, but always my brain, I want to be like, no, you have to move now. You can't freeze. Freeze isn't one of the answers. You have to do something.
Yes.
Yeah, and they do it getting on too. Like when the door opens and they see someone else is in there and like that was not, they were picturing an empty elevator and yeah. Then it opens and there's people in there and that's a game changer. And I'm just like, yeah, but like the world keeps moving. So like adjust on the fly, either run away or get in the elevator now, please.
Right. Yeah. Somebody, places where it's imperative that somebody leaves through a door before somebody else can enter it is like, it's always too long. I'm always waiting too long on who's on the other side. Like just have a plan.
I can't continue my day until you do your thing.
Have contingencies in mind. Surely after this moment, this will never happen to you again, right? Right? Yeah, I need you to promise me. So I had a crazy experience happen recently where, so I'm back at the gym.
Equinox?
Yeah. I'm back in it because—
Too expensive.
It's very expensive.
Not worth the price.
I'm back in it after my surgery, feeling good. The only thing that was weird was some pull-ups because it really stretches those abdomens a lot. But back in it. And before I left, I noticed that our gym had just gotten battle ropes. Do you know what those are?
There's only one thing they could be in my imagination. It's those giant ropes.
Yeah.
That they're like the ropes you climb in gym, except they're horizontal.
Yeah. Now you tell me how you think battle ropes are used.
Great. There's always two of them and they're attached to the wall or something else that's grounding them with weight. And I grab one in each arm and then I make my arms go silly and like up and down, like doodle doodle doodle, like I'm doing an impression of someone I don't like.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, you get down, you kind of like squat down, your knees are apart, your hands are between you. There's a couple different ways you can do it, but you're basically just throwing your arms up and down. It's like drumsticks, basically. You're treating them like drumsticks and you're just creating that like that little wee, that wave that goes through the ropes. Yeah. And that's how I always assumed they were used because I guess you can also do like arms to the sides too. So they're like clapping against each other. But I saw a Subway commercial 5 or 6 years ago with RG3 in it and he was using those. And I was like, got it. Locking that away forever. I know how to use these now. So battle rope showed up at my gym. The second day that they were there, I saw somebody uncoil them because they're nicely coiled. Like, because it's Equinox, everything's aesthetic. And so they're nicely coiled. And I watched this guy uncoil them all the way out till they're straight. And then kind of like hang out for a second. And I'm like, oh, he's just like prepping to get to do it. And then he coiled them right back up. And I was like, oh, he maybe didn't know how to use them. Like he just pulled them out and was like, I don't know how to do this. I'm just going to put it away. So he coiled them back up. Then he did it again. And that was the exercise.
Oh my.
And I was like, oh, oh, that's a strange development.
Could you notice like a consistent form that he was doing? Like this was a yes. real plan of his? Wow.
So then what I noticed was like, because he's definitely like, he's using his legs to do it. He's getting down real low so that his back is straight. And he's just uncoiling this thing and like kind of like walking like a, I would imagine a chimpanzee would walk, where like he hands on the ground, move it, and then move his feet over. Mm-hmm. Hands on the ground, move it, and then moved it back. And I was like, oh, I don't think that's how you use that. I come back the next day and somebody else is doing something very similar. Somebody else has it now, and they're like, it's no longer in coils. It's now like in a pile. But what she's basically doing is she's putting one over each shoulder and she's walking away with it, pulling away till it's straight, and then dropping them, and then like coiling it back up, and then doing the exact same thing again, taking like a little water break in between. And I was like, this cannot be fucking real.
I see myself in this woman, because there's plenty of times that I've been at the gym, especially early on, where I'm watching other people because I'm too afraid to ask anything. And I just see someone do something and they do it with confidence. I'm like, okay, well, as soon as he's out of this room, I'm going to do that. And then it's going to be part of my workout routine forever.
I think that's exactly what happened. Is maybe there was somebody who I didn't originally see who went over, was like, well, let's see what these are all about. Pulled them out and was like, I'm out of my depth. I'm going to put them back. And this other guy saw it and was like, I could do that. And he started doing it, but like add little flares to it so it looked more intentional. Then this woman also caught, this is just like this big game of telephone with this tool nobody knows how to use. And I should also preface this by saying, for some reason that week, the trainers were out. Like even their cards weren't up. Like their little, usually there's a little card that tells you who each trainer was. Like they pulled them. I don't know if there was a strike or what was going on, but the trainers are just not in the gym. And so there's no help anywhere. It's just Lord of the Flies with all these people who don't know what they're doing. And so that's where I think this like caught seed. Now, I went away for a little while because I had to get some guts taken out. Sure. And then I came back. And when I came back, oh, had it evolved, Dan. It was now people were... There was a woman who had... I don't even know how she did it. She had wrapped the ropes around both her waist and her shoulders so that she was essentially just like carrying it like a backpack. No longer connected to anything. Now it's just on her. Mm-hmm. And she was doing lunges around the gym. So she's like treating it like a weighted vest.
Okay.
But just like carrying 40 feet of rope strapped around her.
Like for all of the mistakes that one could make at the gym, that seems like there must have been, even for a novice, several red flags throughout that process. Like once you're detaching them from the wall or the ground or whatever, something in your brain should be like, I don't think there's this many steps. Yeah. I think let's brainstorm other things you could do with the rope before you coil it around your body.
Why do you suppose this was attached to the ground? And the air conditioning is fairly strong in here. Could that be related? So like the way to watch this evolution of confusedness was really fun for me. Because early on, my first instinct was to be like, oh, I could just show him. Like, I'll just watch me. I'll do it. But I didn't. And I'm so glad that I didn't, because to watch how it evolved to the time when I came back. And maybe I'm an idiot. And maybe this is something that was in Men's Health recently. But
The most recent Men's Health was Vin Diesel talking about meeting Spielberg and how he told Spielberg to put a camera up in a second story window, and Spielberg was like, all right, and that's how they got a great shot and Saving Private Ryan.
A big article about the best white t-shirts at H&M. And so just to now see how it's been detached, like now the rope, the idea of like even doing anything with the rope other than just wearing it has faded. And I'm just so excited to see where this goes.
I mean, you could inject more chaos in that too and just like coil it around yourself real tight and then like spin real fast out of it.
Yeah, I think so. There's like, it's such a fine line with gym equipment where people know when something is wrong generally. If somebody's doing something weird, they're like, no, that's fucking weird. I don't know how you use that thing, but that can't be right. And so you have to make it look so intentional, and like, I think also it requires somebody who's in fairly good shape to do it first before everybody else is like, well, I'll give that a shot. That's fine. It's like, putting up dumbbells up on their sides and then doing push-ups down on them.
Yeah.
Like that type of thing where you're like, oh, I never even considered that. Is that helpful? Is that good? And then you do it and you're like, I mean, I guess.
I think that's a very specific thing when we used to go to the same gym that I think you saw someone else do and then you did it. And then because of you, I started doing it. I haven't done it in a while, but it was a thing that was like, I don't, because it's you stand the dumbbells up straight, yeah, and then you do a push-up with your hands on the flat parts of the dumbbells. And then you bring your feet in and under yourself, right?
You bring them over to the side. You like you bring one knee up to the side basically and touch your elbow.
Yeah.
And then put it back down. Now, the doing it up on the... since then, I've realized that getting that low, like that's what you're trying to do is get real low in the, like lower than the ground would be in a push-up.
Yeah.
So that you're, I don't know, like using more of the muscle. But I think it's super bad for your rotator cuff. I don't think it's very healthy for you to be doing that.
It's certainly one of the things that I did for years based on this game of telephone of one guy doing it, you doing it, now me doing it. Yeah. And like really falling in love with it because it was like, this sure looks cool. It's like a workout, but like with weights, with extra weights where you wouldn't expect them. You know, it's like boxing with a 5-pound dumbbell in your mouth.
Yeah. It makes me think that you'd be so easy to just go to a gym, as long as you're in shape enough, go to a gym and just come up with one. Like really think about it beforehand. Come up with something that looks polished, but a little weird, mm-hmm, and just try it. And then see if it takes seed and see where how it evolves. Well, Dan, I've been thinking about this show, as I always do.
Ars, quick question?
The quick question show that we do.
Oh, yeah.
You know it?
Yeah. We've got our 100th episode coming up. We should cancel the show.
The 99th. Oh, what a baller move that would be. Oh, if this was the last one.
Yeah, well, if we just ended it with like, and we're going to do something really special for number 100.
Done. Canceled. You didn't see that coming. So anyway, I'm thinking of new segments all the time for the show and like things that we could do that would be fun. And I wanted to think of something that would appeal to our fans, but also be accessible for any newcomers that we had. So I thought, first of all, what's our demo? And I realized that it was above all else,
MILFs,
professional sports fans.
Oh, right. That's right. Yeah.
And then obviously a close second would be political heads, like people who are very interested in politics.
Uh-huh.
That's our show in a nutshell. So I decided that I could create a segment that combined both of those things in like a sort of a beautiful, elegant way, I think. Now, I'm going to fully disclose here that I outsourced this. I got a big name in politics to do it. And I know that this is obviously your first time listening to this, but it's also my first time. So I'm sort of excited for both of us. So without further ado, here is a new segment.
Straight from the Los Angeles mayor's office, it's time for the QQ Weekly Sports Roundup.
Hello, I'm Jeff Millman, chief strategist for the Los Angeles mayor's office, and this is your weekly quick question sports roundup. Congratulations to the Milwaukee Bucks or the Phoenix Suns on winning the NBA Finals in a thrilling 4, 5, 6, or 7 game series. And an even heartier congratulations to one of the greatest athletes of our time on this, the 14th anniversary of his greatest achievement, the Clover Park Miracle. The superstar athlete in question is none other than Soren Bowie. In the waning light of a 26th birthday party for Colleen Callahan and Anna Berzins, a game of touch football was winding down and saw Soren's team losing to a bunch of untalented graduates from LA's private schools. Pinned back in their own end zone and on third and long, Soren's team faced impossible odds. The quarterback was flushed from the pocket and tossed up a Hail Mary that not even the most gifted of professional athletes could realistically expect to catch. And yet, one man, dragging several defenders, shot downfield and hauled in the miracle catch with just his fingertips for the touchdown and the win. No extra point necessary. That man was Soren Bowie. And I know because I was his teammate. And most importantly, I was there to witness the greatness. This concludes our weekly sports roundup. Back to you, Soren and Daniel.
Wow. I had no idea he was going to do that. So, I mean, I really ask for it, and I'll ask for it again with him, is that he just concentrate on local, not local sports, but like current sports and things that are happening now, despite maybe some Hall of Fame achievements that have happened previously in the world that he might have witnessed. You know, he doesn't have to focus on those, obviously. He can just stick to current sports.
Can I say what's worse to me than him dedicating an entire segment to a game of no consequence on the 14th anniversary, by the way, not a thing celebrated by anyone. What's worse than all of that is opening with congratulations to the Milwaukee Bucks or the Phoenix Suns.
Well,
any sports update in the world that just acknowledges two teams are playing.
Well, here's the rub for us is that this is sort of how the sausage is made, ladies and gentlemen, is that we record these, and he obviously recorded this before the finals were over. So we had to sort of hedge our bets by not hedging our bets.
I'm confused. Did he record this before or after he helped the mayor use taxpayer money to travel the world for a presidential bid that he ultimately abandoned because he knew he wasn't going to win? Was that where on the timeline did that fall?
I think it was after.
Okay. I mean, at that point, it's forgivable. He's got senioritis now, so it's forgivable. That's fine. That's fine.
I don't know. And like that intro, I don't know who that is. I assume Eric Garcetti doing that.
God almighty.
It sounds really good. Whoever's doing that Zoo Hour DJ voice, they're nailing it.
It's weird. I don't even think I have this much venom for Garcetti.
No, I don't think you do either. I don't know where this is coming from. And try to keep in mind, this is my access to the mayor's office. This is my friend, Jeff Millman.
Yeah.
And he's a good guy.
Jeff sounds great.
He's awesome.
Believe, yeah. A lot of people who are drawn to politics in not top roles are very often good people. And I think that's probably true of Jeff. And just his friendship with you alone speaks volumes of him.
He's a good guy. He's a very, very good guy. And I trust him implicitly. And I think that this next time he will do one that's, you know, more oriented on like what's going on currently in sports.
Yes, that's probably... It's probably a misplaced anger on my part. I was probably annoyed that he didn't have more info on current sports, and I'm pivoting to something else. I'm just like reaching for things to be angry about. And that's why I'm manufactured all this rage for a mayor who committed Los Angeles to an Olympics, even though he wasn't ever going to be here in any capacity in 2028. It's fine.
I think I nailed our demo though, don't you?
Athletic politics heads? Yeah.
Yeah. Can't beat them. Well, I think that's it. I mean, that's our whole show. We've done enough. We're allowed to leave. Yeah. Thanks for participating, Dan.
Sure. I'm processing a lot right now. And I want to make sure I didn't burn any bridges with your friend.
I think it's fine.
I mean, it sounds like we banked whatever future iterations of this bit you have planned.
No.
Are there,
No, I'm getting, I mean, I don't know what he'll do next. I couldn't possibly say.
As long as he just focuses on universal sports that we all care about, I'll be fine.
Yeah. Okay, great. I think we're going to be fine. Played at birthday parties, right?
Oh, boy.
Bye.